Hallelujah. I can't tell you how thrilled I am tonight to hear the choir again. I'm glad you got a break. Now it's time to go back to work. We sure did enjoy that. And you were singing how you choose to worship him, and I was thinking, then why did you choose to stop? I was really blessed. Thank you. God bless you richly. Amen. Well, tonight we've got a good friend, an old friend, buddy, Brother Amos Kutz, who hails from, he and Sister Lisa, they live in Virginia. They're members of the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. And I guess I've probably known Brother Amos for, I don't know, almost 10 years now, I think, something like that. He's been out and ministered for us many times in the past. We haven't seen much of him the last few years, but we're glad that he considered us to come our way as he's doing a tour here of the West. And his lovely wife is going to sing for us tonight. So wherever Sister Lisa is at, we want to invite her to come. And at the same time, we'll invite our brother Amos to come up and... And when she's through, we'll just turn the service over to our brother Amos. And we'll pull tonight, pull in the word, and pull in the gift. You expect God to speak to you tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes I think as people pass me by. I didn't have you, this would be just another day, and I would be just another person trying to find my way. But I have you, and every day is a blessing, living and confessing your word. But things would be so different, it's true, if I didn't have you.
Boy, I'm glad we've got a revelation of that tonight. If we didn't have him, if I didn't have him, amen, we'd be as lost could be. Oh my, I'm so glad that I've got the revelation tonight. Hallelujah. It struck my soul. You know, Jesus said if a man should gain the whole world and lose his soul, what would he give in exchange for his soul? There isn't anything you could give in exchange for your soul. But knowing that if a man takes up his cross and forsakes all, in all reality, when you get a revelation of that, you haven't forsaken anything, but you have everything to gain. Hallelujah. If you've got God, amen. If you didn't have a gift in your life, you don't have nothing. But if you've got God, you have everything. 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 Hallelujah. You've got sonship. You're son or daughter of His. You've got a lot coming to you. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that tonight. Amen. I asked Brother Doug, and we just want to say that it's a privilege to be able to be with you all. Again, our hearts and prayers. From the first time we met you all, the way God just worked it out from back whenever that was, it's just been wonderful. And I can assure you that you all have been a blessing to us, as well as the fact that we were given opportunity to be a little tiny blessing to you all. But you have been a great blessing to us. And I've often commented to Brother Doug, you know, the ministry here in Tucson. I just want to say I like to give somebody their flower as well. It's a good time to do it. But I really appreciate Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer and their family and the church here. And I think that in the last 15 years, you know, give or take, I think we've seen a coming together. The bride across the earth. That's what the prophet spoke about, and it's happening. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Fulfilled. Before our very eyes. We see the ministry delving into the things of God, into the Word, bringing things out to us in the various gifts and so forth. We see fellowships that are coming together where maybe for a time Satan kept us a little bit divided. You know, Brother Branham talked about, and I found this in a few different places where he talked about, said sometimes ministers will get the spooks about one another. Get spooks about one another, and all pastors should be cautious and guarded and so forth over their sheep, and the concern is there to avoid any deceivers that would try to move in on the flock or something like that. But sometimes Satan will move on that and cause people to be always suspicious that maybe he's going to steal my sheep. And I wonder sometimes there how deep a person's revelation goes when they think that way, because first of all, they do have a concern for their sheep and so forth, but then Satan will jump on that thing and just put a wall there and keeping people from fellowshipping. And you also know these things that many times you have the carnal mind. We've all seen it over the years that you can always tell, Brother Doug, people are being led of the Spirit of God, or there's carnality. They're falling back on the flesh. The flesh will get you nowhere. And I've been places where people are still doing things the old fleshly, carnal way about doing things instead of following the principles of the Word, being led of the Spirit of God, and following the Word. And I think it's like Brother Branham, I've got a quote up here and we may read it tonight. Brother Branham was coming to the church and he was saying that too many times we're afraid to look into that package. Because it's not so much that there's riches to be had in that package, but it might expose some of our unbelief, where we have not believed the Word of God. But I'm thankful tonight to know and be in fellowship with a pastor as an evangelist. To be in fellowship with a pastor that's really standing for this Word. And after this morning, hearing what I was hearing. Hallelujah. My, I'm thankful he was able to get himself out of the way and he stays humble before God. God can use us all and we can just stay humble. Amen. And we can allow the Spirit of God to move on us where we're not inhibited. I find too many times people around the message are inhibited. Hallelujah. I tell you one thing. I've got too many scars on my feet. Too many scars on my hands where I was a slave to the devil. I got too many whippings on my back where the devil beat me and accused me. And I've been free. I'm not Johnny Crow just walking around with a chain, but I found out I was free. Hallelujah. So I'm very thankful, and I appreciate, I believe that this local body of Christ has contributed greatly to the Bride of Christ around the world. Amen. Influence of another. And I think if we can see all the bodies of Christ that way, over here, over there, we all have an input. Nobody has the handle. Nobody has the, what would be the word for it, the say-so or whatever. Over, we all as a body are unified under one hand. And we're happy to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our head. And I tell you, it just clears out all the doubts. It clears out all the confusion. It clears out a lot of things when he's in the head. Amen. It's not a pastor, not an evangelist, not some other ministry, but it's Christ is the head of this body universally. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that this bride is functioning in a great way. I believe she's functioning in a way that God intended her to be. Now, I don't want to get my feel the inspiration and the pull of you all. My, brought the Holy Ghost with you tonight. After this morning service, everybody ought to be charged up. Amen. And there were so many good things that was said there. But anyway, I just wanted to share with you my wife and I are again glad to be with you all, and thank you for the opportunity to minister. We actually had a schedule, and I won't elaborate a whole lot on that, but due to certain circumstances back home and what have you, I was having to kind of reschedule, and because things were kind of running a little bit tight, close together, I had to back everything up. And then again, I had so much time and a certain time constraint that if I was going to make good on any invitations and leadings of the Lord, I had to do it soon. So actually, some of the places where we were supposed to be, we weren't able to work things out, but God knows what He's doing. God doesn't have any accidents. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we think it ought to go, but it's going God's way. If it's going God's way, it's going my way. Because I'm happy with His way. If it hurts the flesh, if it hurts this, it hurts that, well, who cares? God has my best interest in mind anyway. He has your best interest in mind. And the sooner we realize that God has our best interest in mind, we'll be better off. And Satan has your worst interest in mind. Amen. So we were in Canada here, I guess it's just been barely, not even quite a month ago. And the Lord's been, had opened up a door there for us. And I thought after I even consented to it, I thought, you know, Satan tried to come to me and say, you know, what are you getting yourself into there? But anyway, to shorten it as possible, God led us up there, and we were ministering for a real tiny group as faithfully as we could, and that group was really going through some tremendous, tremendous situations in their families, and really some horrible, horrible circumstances. But I believe that we've got a doctor, and we've got a prescription that's able to conquer and to heal the worst diseases, the worst of circumstances. God is able. That's the gospel that we believe in. He's able to save to the uttermost. No matter how sunk down low that people can become. We were all in that shape, whether we know it or not. We're going to be talking about a man tonight that didn't realize how low he was. He thought he had a little bit of elevation, and that's where people get into trouble, when they think they've got a little bit of elevation. But anyway, we were going there, and then we could say that one family in the area where we were, it was just the hand of God, the will of God, the family, young children, and really not children, but teenagers and so forth, is really a lot of turmoil going on there, and we brought comfort and consolation and, if I could use this word, a hands-on ministry for those people, because of many of them, that's all they had was just live streaming, and they were streaming our service there at Happy Valley. And a very difficult situation. But the more after that first time that we were there, I felt compelled. I cannot abandon these believers. I felt in my heart they're real believers. And I came away, I could sense their faith. Though they had some gigantic problems, huge problems in their lives. And there's a lot of injury, a lot of hurt, a lot of scars, and so forth like that. But yet I believe God was dealing with them. And today I can say both of those families moved to an area where they could go to a good, sound, Bible-believing, message-preaching church. One, Brother Eugene Braun, and the other, Brother Kelly Hildebrandt in Canada. That was a big step for those little sisters who hardly had anything to take with their families. But they obeyed the Word of God. And I could walk away from that situation saying, mission accomplished. Hallelujah. So anyway, there was still a remainder of some believers there. And so I didn't know which way it was going to go, what was going to happen. I was just praying. But somehow I felt there's still more believers there that need help. And you know, a minister sometimes will battle between what he feels is just sympathy, like Jesus must have felt when he went to the pool of Bethesda I've often said that if it was just up to the flesh, he'd have healed them all. But he said, I do nothing except my Father shows me. And Brother Branham said that even though he had those invitations or whatever, those spastic children, I'll tell you this, the prophet of God said I had them all on my prayer list at home. He still was praying for them. We don't have any record that they were ever healed, but nonetheless, they were on his prayer list. Amen? That's the character of Christ. It's the character of Jesus. And so, I was really feeling the pull. I knew more people that were out there in the woodwork, so to speak, out in the nooks and crannies that were kind of disillusioned and didn't know which way, that which end was up. And then there was some ministry there that I met over the course of time, some brothers from the Congo there in the city of Winnipeg, a really big city. And two brothers from the Congo, one from Kenya, and both of them, they'd all moved to Canada, and they'd had their start there in a church, and God had blessed them, and they started their own work in the big city of Winnipeg. And coming to meet these brothers, I just felt that, felt like a pull. I can't hardly describe it. You'd be a minister, you might know what I'm talking about. And I continue to pray about it, and I begin to feel more and more compelled to reach out to these brothers. And this morning, sitting in the service, I actually thought of this. Thought had come to me before, but this morning, as Brother Doug was preparing to speak, the thought came to me. The Macedonian call. Come over and help us. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I called you to go to those people. I can tell you, you know, you got to come out of your comfort zone. You can remember, Lisa could tell you, we were over there meeting in little public areas and so forth like that. And I had to do the song service leading most of the time and do the preaching too. And I'm not saying that's out of my range or anything like that. Using my own vacation time, I'm not looking for sympathy. And there was many times I found myself asking, you know, if Satan had come to you and tried to tempt you, say, is it really worth it? But the love for God's people, the desire to see that press hold and mature in the Word, that's my desire. Reach out to only five people one morning. There was a brother trying to lead the service, and he was just having a tough time, and everybody was either on key, well, it was no key, on key, off key, keys that don't even exist. But they was out there singing anyway. Bible didn't say to sing on key, although we appreciate that. The Bible said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I was back there in a little dinner hall. It was a like an elderly public center or something. And I was back there in the little cafeteria with my notes and my Bible out, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me. He said, when you go out there, you tell them that I received their worship. I went out there, and the Spirit of God just came down. And I told those people, don't you worry about nothing. God has heard your worship, and he received it. I'm so glad for that tonight. There was times I couldn't hardly sing myself in hoarse from preaching. But brother and sister, it's worth it. You got to come out of your comfort zone sometimes. It might mean missing sleep and not knowing how things are going to work out. But God's behind it. God will make a way for you somehow. And he has. And that bountifully. So I'm thankful the door opened and I heard the Macedonian call with the brothers up there. And I just felt a pull after meeting them. They needed some help. Oh, you know, I often view myself as the funniest looking tool in the toolbox. I don't even know what to call myself sometimes. But I ain't worried about what I call myself. It's whether or not I've been called of God. And if God put me in a toolbox, there's got to be a purpose somewhere to fix something. Amen. And I want to follow through with that with everything I got. And whether it's 5 or 50 or 500, I don't hold back. I just let go and let God. But God blessed us. We had about 5 meetings. I told the brothers I was coming, and they were all excited. One of the brothers I had already preached for back some months ago, and he said, I'll just let the others, you know, if they want to use your ministry. He said, Brother Amos, if there's anything left over, then we can just have a meal with you and your wife. That'll be good enough. But he said, so we had several services there. And Brother Danny Fair, I don't know if any of you know him, Brother Danny Fair there in Landmark, Manitoba. And we were able to minister for the brother there, and we were received very well. And the brother just really opened his heart to us and opened his pulpit to us and told me afterward, and his wife as well. I didn't preach a real deep subject, but I preached something that would help the people and help the pastor. Make encouraging remarks, because I realized that, you know, and God just gave us a wonderful time, and they told me afterward, it's just what we needed to hear. And Brother Danny, a real missionary, he's a missionary traveling to Mongolia a lot, and other places, I think, doing a great work for God. But we prayed for the people, and then we ministered for the other, the brother from the Congo has a church in Winnipeg and renting these halls, you know, and we prayed over the place, they prayed over the place, and I remember the one time I was in there, you know, you could tell it was used for all kinds of parties, and you'd actually smell the beer that had probably spilled on the floor and soaked in the wood. You can actually smell that in those places. So we asked God to bless and sanctify the place. We had 2 meetings with that brother, and then that brother Samuel, both Friday nights that we were there, we were able to minister for him. And God just came down in a very special way. And a brother told me, one brother told me, he said, Brother Amos, he said, I want you to know, brother. He said, anytime you feel to come and preach a revival for me, my pulpit is open. And after the service, he was interpreting for me in French. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Amos, anytime you're welcome to speak from my pulpit. He said, you've been a help to me. You know that when an evangelist hears that from a pastor, that means a lot. It means a lot. And I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. Amen. I believe that He is, because I've been walking in His will and His way. Praise God. So God was good to us, and we had just a tremendous time there. And so we took a few weeks and to rest up a little bit before we come out here. And I have my dear wife with me. We've been married for, is it actually going to be the 24th? It'll be 30 years. So is the 24th already here? Is it not? No, it's the 22nd. Just a couple of days away. By God's grace, we'll be there. And I guess we could say who was it? Jacob, you know, he said it seemed like just a short time. Working for Rachel. Amen. So watch 2 days. Amen. But God's been good to us, and recently we've seen the hand of the Lord in our son's life, and Satan had tried to jerk him away and try to steal him away. God brought him back. Amen. It gave him a stronger testimony. You know, I think it was Brother Branham said in one place about the prodigal. When he came back, that was what happened from the point that he came back to the end was greater than the time that was before. And I believe that for one of us. It's greater. It's greater. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand tonight. We look to the Word of God. You pray for me tonight. I had the attack of the enemy when I was in Canada for about 2 days. And before I come out here, Satan started attacking my body. But just by testimony, I preached 5 times in a week in Canada. And I can say this, I had a voice after I got through. And I'd had surgery about 2 years ago. They felt like they needed to take a callus. They call it a polyp. It was benign. I wasn't afraid of it. But it turned out to be benign. It felt like it should come off of there. So every time I preached, I'd lose my voice. But praise be to God, when I was in Canada, 5 services. And just, if you know me, I like to go wide open. But God touched my throat, Brother Doug. Now, by God's grace tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. I've had some drip in my throat and so forth, so we won't worry about that. We just worry about the word getting to the people. God will take care of the rest. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in the Bible, in your Bibles, to the book of 2 Kings, and we'll be reading 2 places of Scripture tonight. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, beginning at verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot the arrow. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. He smote thrice and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I'd like you to turn with me over to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 16. He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I'd like to see if I can find a scripture here and have up here somewhere with me in the book of Psalms. I'll see if we've got that here with us. I'm not sure. Yes, we do. Psalms 87 and 3. I think it's just outstanding. The whole scripture, whole chapter here is just really awesome. I believe it applies to us. We are highly favored of the Lord. Psalms 87 and 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Praise the Lord. Just one more verse of scripture. in John 10:10, verse 9, 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand before you tonight, Lord. We stood here by ourselves. Lord, we are the most feeble folk. We are sheep, Father God. We must be led. We must have a shepherd. We are not as the goats. We are not as the cattle that are driven. We're not as the goats who want to go their own way. But we recognize our need for leadership. We ask you, God, for your leadership tonight. May you lead me as a minister of this glorious gospel, Lord Jesus, into the truths of your word. Help us to look at these things in a simple way. We pray and we ask it, God, tonight, in Jesus Christ's name, for your honor and glory. Amen and amen. I want to speak tonight, as you're seated, on the abundancy of God. The abundancy of God. I think of what Brother Doug is this morning. He was mentioning a few things, and I actually went back and thought, that's worth repeating. So I thought it was a confirmation, the direction that I was supposed to take tonight. Amen? You don't mind me sipping a little bit of water. I'm just getting used to this dry air out here. But he was talking about when the woman that was taken in the act of adultery, and I've spoken that so many times, never get tired of it, because he wasn't the accuser. She was already at the bottom. She knew it. He knew it. She was already at the bottom. Somehow the devil likes to take his feet and just stomp people down. Whether it's an attack on one of God's children or a potential child of God or even a sinner, he don't really care about his own. That's why there's so much evil and sin and wickedness and so forth going on in the land today. Satan don't even care for his own. He's a thief. He's come to steal and to destroy. You look at people, they display the characteristics of the devil. They act like the devil. We used to say, he acts like the devil. She acts like the devil. But I believe there's a group of people tonight that's acting like God. And I believe I'm looking at a representation of a people that's acting like God. And they're not just sticking a feather in themselves and saying, I'm an eagle. We've seen that for years. That stuff just falls flat. Don't get very far. You got a guy out here trying to sell Volkswagens, and he's driving a Mercedes or a Ford. After a while, it's going to tell on him. He's probably a pretty big liar. He's not driving what he's trying to sell. You're not driving what you're trying to sell. You might as well just keep your mouth shut. You got to be driving what you're trying to sell. But I believe that I'm driving something tonight. I'm not trying to sell it, but I'm trying to tell you about all of its good benefits. Amen. The abundancy of God. Amen. It's so nice to see you in a nice building, and you kind of outgrew the other one. Praise the Lord, you got a lot of room here. I trust that it's always going to be filled with the praises of God. Amen. And God's presence. Amen. And God's seal of approval. Amen. One thing about it, whether it's 3 or 300, I want his seal. Amen. And sanction. Amen. Sanction, Brother Doug, on my ministry. Amen. And on my life. Yes. I want his sanction on my life. I want his seal of approval. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're rich in Christ tonight. I've mentioned it a time or two that I believe that y'all been taught right. And you're walking right. And you're getting experiences. You know, I think too many times we've heard the prophets say this and the prophets say that, and because, you know, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, should keep still. I told the people up in Winnipeg the other week, I said, I think we've gotten too many people standing still or just staying still. And you know what the Brother Branham said about stillness? He said, maybe you were stillborn. Means you're dead. No life in you. You're lacking the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I think Brother Branham warned. He said, too many dry-eyed confessions. Not enough dying out. Not enough. Resurrection comes into you. May God help us tonight. Said, I am the door. By any man, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. I think of what it says in Malachi. He said, you'll go forth as calves from the stall. Well, we didn't know exactly what that meant, but Brother Branham told us what it meant. I'll just drop it down a little bit of a lower gear here. All right? Brother Branham said there was a farmer over here. He had a barn that didn't look like much. Didn't have a whole lot of contact with a lot of people, famous people. Didn't maybe have this, didn't have that. But there's one thing that he saw to it. That in all of his labors, and in all of his work, his livestock were fed well. His calf was fed well. The other man had a fancier place now. He could have fed his, I'm getting ahead of myself. The other man had a fancier barn, fancier facility. But instead of taking inventory, he was putting his investment into his own project. And the very thing that was going to be his livelihood, he neglected. Now, the body of Christ is not a livelihood to anyone. But that man, that farmer, had his priorities mixed up. His priority was his sheep, his calf. But he went out here and said, God sent a prophet. And the prophet went here and the prophet went there. And he said this and he said that. But the brother in the church age book, we find out that the bride, that one of the evidences of having the Holy Ghost is that we will be in the Word all the way. We don't allow scarecrows. We don't allow people to come and scare us away. When we see this one went off and did this and went off and did that, the prophet said there's going to be a bride. And I can stand up on this stage tonight or platform, and so can you. You can say, God said it, I believe it, and that's me. When the kitten looked in the mirror, it was maybe thinking it was going to see this meow, meow, I'm hungry. But when he looked in the mirror of the Word, he didn't see another kitten. He seen a lion looking back at him. What he was preaching your pastor this morning, what we're talking about tonight, when you look in the Word, you may see something different than what you're familiar with every day of your life. But if you'll stay in that Word and keep that Word before you, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, you'll be able to hear who you really are. And then you're going to see something in there. You'll have a vision of what you're really supposed to be. When I look in that mirror, I see what exactly God sees. I'm not worried about my flaws. I'm not worried about my flesh. The power that's inside of me is going to change his body. And I ain't worried about that. That's God's responsibility anyway. Well, we already see God doing great things among us. I think the greatest thing is a changed life. See, lives that were wrecked, people whose lives were wrecked, Satan thought he'd made a trophy out of them. God come along. And now he says to you, like he said to that woman, where are your accusers? And all of a sudden it dawned on that woman that Jesus wasn't an accuser. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. In the presence of the King, I spoke on that subject so many times already, I never get tired of it. About the old almond stick, Aaron's rod. Bark falling off of it. Bugs no doubt eat into it, whatever insects lived in that part of the world. All life was going out of it. You couldn't hardly tell unless you cut it in two, maybe looking at the rings, whatever few rings it had. And looking at the color of the wood on the inside, you might have been able to tell it was off an almond tree. And one night, in the presence of the King, changed everything. Not only the next day was it bearing leaves, but it was bearing almonds, which leads me to believe all the deadness had vanished away. There was no trace. There was no trace. And as I listened to your pastor this morning, someday our memories will be changed and our minds will be completely all the nonsense of the devil. There'll be no more nightmares like he was saying this morning. You won't have nightmares. Sure, we have flashbacks occasionally because Satan still has access to our mind. But someday, it's all going to be over. That woman, she suddenly realized she was in the presence of the doctor. The doctor was there. He was there for everybody, but not everybody recognized him as a doctor. There's a quote from the Feast of the Trumpets. And this is where we're going tonight a little bit. Like I told them there in Winnipeg a few weeks ago, it's going to be Christmas time here in a little while. You're going to have these live nativity scenes. And you're going to see baby, maybe a real baby laying in a manger. Horse, donkey, and all that. That's wonderful. That's the God. That's what happened. But suppose you set up a manger scene. Instead of Jesus being in the manger, you are in the manger. Oh, Jesus was fine when he was multiplying the loaves and the fishes, cleansing the leper. But when he said, I and my Father are one, that's when the persecution come down. When the oneness with God started. And when the oneness of God starts with you. And like I told them up there in Canada, we are the true anointed ones. We are the Messiah-ites. Brother, we've heard all this for years and years. We waved the message books and we believe all that. About the false anointed ones at the end time, and they are here. But my sheep know my voice. We've come to a place where we can identify. We can identify these false anointed ones. Amen. Because we are in the Word. When you're in the Word, you know your shepherd's voice. He said, you know that the people would be in the Word all the way. That's one of the evidences of the Holy Ghost. They don't shy away from a subject because it's too sensitive. I might lose my friendship with a certain geographical location in the United States. Maybe in Indiana. Whoa! I'm marked now. I shouldn't have said that. Or I'm marked in another city somewhere else. It just ruined my influence. Maybe we need to ruin some of them influences. Not worry about them. I'm worried about God's influence. God's approval. God's sanction. And when that Word, you and the Word become one, then it's no longer Jesus on Mount Transfiguration, then it's you on Mount Transfiguration. Then it's you that's the Son that's adopted. Then it's you that you can call yourself a Messiah, like I told him right there. And it wasn't confrontational or using hostility or anything like that, but I said, look, for years the devil has, he'll always take the Word. He'll take the real Word and try to scare you with it. You might be a false anointed one. As long as he can keep you from not going any further than that sermon, then you'll believe that. But that's only half the truth. What else did the prophet say? All the Word, in the Word, all the way. A real son or daughter of God is a chip off the old block. You'll eat the same thing as he eats. You'll think the same thoughts. So you can't refute, say, and I know a few of them, not saying they looked at me bug-eyed, but it's like, they just stopped. I said, we're the true anointed ones, without quoting anything. Then I said, the prophet said, we're Messiah-ets. What is a Messiah-et? Hallelujah. It's an anointed one. But I just don't have an anointing on my spirit, although the most important thing is to have the anointing on the soul. But I want it on my spirit too. Oh, you didn't? Yeah, sure, you can have the anointing on your spirit. Absolutely. Because I can't control my spirit at times, my memory, conscious, reasoning, affection. I can't control those things. To a point I can, but I need the Spirit of God to help me control that. It wasn't so much the fact that the false anointed one shouldn't have had the Holy Ghost anointing, although in many cases probably best that they never even received it. But if it falls on the right one, if it falls on a seed of God, you can have it all over you. And as many refillings as you want. I raised my hand to him. If God decided between now and next weekend when the rapture would take place, not saying it would be, but he wanted to give me 2,000 refillings, I'm a candidate. I don't know how. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know how, but if he says I can get them, I'm going to get them. I got the capacity. I have the capacity within myself to receive 2,000 refillings. And I don't know about the rest of you, but living in this present evil, eat Satan's Eden, I need as many as I can get. I don't know about you, but I brush soldiers with God's name in vain takers and all kinds of sinner flesh every single day. I need God's hand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Valley's too deep, the mountain too tall. Down on my knees, I learn to pray. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. brother, sister. That's where it's at. I can't hardly wait to talk to him. I can't put it off. Somebody calls me on the phone, I'm going to hang up the phone. Because I want to talk to Jesus. If somebody texts me, somebody emails me, and I feel it in my heart, I want to talk to my Lord. I push the pause button. I got a more important call, VIP on the other end. I got to talk to him right now. Sweetest time. The sweetest time that you'll ever spend. The most effective soldier, the most effective Christian, the most effective part of the body of Christ is the one that gets the most blood flow. And really all the body. You don't have to worry about God's body getting varicose veins or some other thing that would restrict blood flow even down to the toe or somewhere on the ear. You don't have to worry about that. This body doesn't wear out. Glory! God will see to it that every part of the body is important to Him. Whether you're the little fingernail or whatever, the little toe down on the foot. Like I always say, if I'm the skin on the bottom of the foot, I want to be tough. And I want to walk all over Satan. Not just walk all over Satan. Under my feet. But I want to possess everything that God promised us. Everything. Not one stone be left unturned. I want everything that God has promised for me. Because not only do I want it, I've got a desire that will not let me go until I possess all the gates of the enemy. Every single one of them. The woman, she stood there in the presence of the king. She was standing in the presence of life. And so he said to her, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee." Sweetest words he spoke from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest chime. Wonderful words of Jesus, sing them more and o'er. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Her sinning days were over. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. But I believe that she was one of those who went to the upper room. She pressed on. Sure, she had a sweet, wonderful experience with our Lord. But she knew she had to go to the upper room. She pressed on. She moved further on like she needed to go. And she found out when she went in that upper room, not only he was with her, but now he was in her. Hallelujah. And if she would testify here tonight, she said, "That was a wonderful experience that I had with him when he forgave me of all my sin. And I walked away from my sin with no condemnation." But he said that she would say the greatest experience was when I received his spirit into me. Then the desire, though that desire had been squelched by her repentance like Mary Magdalene and the rest of them, but when they got the Holy Ghost, they were like that Samaritan woman. They burned the country up. She was a changed woman. She would say, "The Holy Ghost experience, you must have it." She was a seed. I believe that she was a seed. Now, in Psalms, we find the words. He says, "Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the spring thereof." Psalms 145:7. "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, shall sing of thy righteousness. Let the wicked forsake his way." Isaiah 55:7. unrighteous man has thoughts, let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Brother, sister, God can do such a number. We've seen that. I'm looking at people here tonight. You're looking at a person right here tonight. You're looking at me. I'm looking at you. We can both say together, we're changed people. It's not lies. We're ashamed of our past. We know all that. It's under the blood. We never did it in the first place. But I believe that God does such a job on us that you can't even imagine. If you were to tell people the drugs and the vile living and the carousing and evil stuff we used to be involved in, people just can't believe it because there's been such a change. That's the way God does things. Too many times we've brought people and people are coming and believing the message are not getting to Christ. We got to bring them to the Christ of the message. It hasn't changed and it won't change until the rapture. It's still the same old fashioned way. Same old fashioned way to get it. Now we find that here was a king that been under the ministry of the prophet. Notice he was a king. Yeah, he was a king and he knew it. He was also a king and didn't know it. Say, explain that one to me. I'll try to in the next few minutes. He was under the ministry of Elisha the prophet. Here's a prophet of God. That when Elijah left, he asked Elijah for a double portion of what Elijah had. And you notice in the ministry of Elisha, now I'm drawing a parallel on this thing. You know that spiritual, you can see where I'm going. You look at the ministry of and the miracles that took place and how great they were. You look at what happened under the ministry of Elisha when the woman was told, he told her, go out and find as many vessels as you can. He didn't put a limit on it. You know this bride? She's been given an ultimatum by the prophet of this hour, by the message of the hour, not to hold back, but to go into the Word and manifest all the Word that's been promised. And people think that they have actually reached the ceiling or they reached the maximum amount of Word. And you look at what's going on in their life, they're about as confused. Ministers don't even know what to preach anymore. Find they're running out of sermons. I just find the contrary, Brother Doug, you and I. There's so much to preach on. The further we go in this thing, I'm swimming in it. I'm intoxicated in the Word. And how ministers, I've actually heard some ministers not even, maybe even preaching once a week, but playing a tape recording of the prophet's message and sitting back, ignoring the responsibility to break the Word to the people. When Brother Branham said it took Philip down with the eunuch, that's how children are born. The man needed someone to expound to him the Word. Said it's not going to be mechanical means. I know you've heard all these things. God calls men to preach the gospel. The prophet had no problem with it when he was here. And I don't think he'd have a problem with it now. Because it was a word. Not because he was to say so and approve it. He didn't need to approve it. It was already in the word. He didn't add nothing to the word or take away from the message. Take away from the Bible. He already brought it back And he brought us back to look on this. And we've been looking at it. And things been happening. Things been happening. Not everybody sees it that way. But you look at Elisha and so forth, what happened in his ministry when the Syrian army came up there. And oh my, Gehazi was having a time of it. He was looking at fleshly circumstances. And truly, it couldn't be overwhelming. Sure. You may be in a place in your life tonight, you may feel overwhelmed. But I think of brother, this man called Big Daddy Weave, that song he sings, "I'm Overwhelmed." Many times I feel that way. At the awesomeness of God, the extent, he doesn't have any boundaries. And if he does, I don't think there's too many danger of us going outside the boundaries. The trouble is, we're not checking out the territory inside the boundaries. That's the problem. We're listening to a bunch of ten spies, our flesh. Some of us sat under false ministries. Some of us sat under people who were not possessors of the land. They'll have to answer to God for that, where they're at. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to explore all the territory, and I'm going to have sore feet from walking around, not just in a ring either, but I'm going to be walking around, checking everything out that God has promised me. I'm not just going to stop, say, well, I believe the message, and everything's going fine in my life. All these things is real nice, and got a good pastor here, Brother Doug Baker. But Brother Baker and God wants you to walk around within the confines of the Word. And I say confines. Turn your eyes to the heavens and look at the Milky Way. That way and over there. That'll give you some idea about the confines of the Word. Too many times, I think, over the years, and thank God, I'm not going to put you back in that mess. But people thought, oh, God sent a prophet. And for its time, there was a time when the 70s, the 80s, we were all rejoicing and praising God. But then God began to say, come on. Come on, I want to take you. Come on, come on. Begin to speak to hearts. Begin to speak to ministers. And brother, as soon as they did, as soon as they started seeing things and exposing things by the Word, it's like, you're splitting up fellowship. You're breaking fellowship. Because their identification was with the Word. Staying with the Word. People that were accusing them of not staying with the Word, they were the ones that weren't staying with the Word. The Spirit was constantly moving, bringing people, but round and round the mountain. They went for 40 years. We still find people in the land today. Well, maybe that's all they're ordained to do. I find myself this. When I run into people like that, I put my arm around and tell them, God bless you. But as for me, I'm going to move on regardless of your congratulations or criticism. I am moving on anyway. Caleb and Joshua, they look like, to some of those people, look like a bunch of fools. But they know in that God they believed in the promise that he made, that he was able to keep the promise which he'd given them and able to perform it. And Caleb had 85 years. And did you know he was really not a Jew? Well, he was of the lineage of Esau. A Kenizzite. So he had a little bit of an upward hill to climb. He was like a, I don't know if you use the word proselyte or convert. Be the better word maybe. But he seen the hand of God. It wasn't so much, well, it sounds like a good thing. I think I'll get on it. There was a predestinated seed down inside of Caleb that said, I don't know. Esau was my daddy. But what I feel in my heart, I'm with those people, and I think I'm going to join them. And some of those people, I've been in the message for years. Moses, who, where do you come from? I knew the prophet. I hunted with the prophet. Who are you? Oh, your daddy was Esau. Yeah, everybody's daddy in the flesh was Esau. But Caleb, regardless. He went through the hall of critics. He went through the hall of criticism. Probably live with it. Some people probably come to him and say, Caleb, welcome. And other people say, I don't know about him. He's got more fire than I got. Yeah, he need to pour some water on his fire a little bit. You ever get around people like that? That's cruel. That's the devil if I ever know it. Dump buckets of water on people. I've seen it happen. Sure, they may not have understood everything coming into the message, but they just on fire. Brother Bram said it, the lamps lit, go tell it. God will watch his seed. I think back in my life, and I was a youngster in the message and preaching from Pentecost, coming over into the message, and sure, sometimes I didn't quote right, I didn't say things right. Somebody come up to me one time, they didn't mean it ugly. But I know if he was saying it, there had to be other people saying it behind my back. Said, you didn't quite quote something just right. Not that I didn't mean to. But I felt like it was being put under the microscope of people's intellects all the time. Say, one thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. You haven't been in the message church long enough. How many message books you read? And I do believe in studying to show thyself approved. Don't get me wrong. But to get around some of these people and all they want to do instead of encouraging somebody, if you can't get there, why do you want to stand in somebody else's way? Who does want to get there? Maybe it's just jealousy. Caleb, he come on in. He stood right up there with a man of God, Joshua. And I'm identified with him. And he stole the people and said, don't you know it was promised to us? We're more than able. You know why? They were listening to the prophet's message. And they believed the prophet's message. As your pastor was preaching this morning, I caught a thought. How many of us, we all, every single one of us, were children, toddlers, learning to walk. I'm a bad impersonator of that. I'm a toddler, but notice what I'm doing. I'm getting back up again. And then like my son, I don't know if I can do this or not. He was determined to get somewhere. He's going to get somewhere. If he couldn't walk, he was going to crawl. And he was alive. You walked, you fell, you walked, you fell, you blundered and bumped your head. Now, we as parents weren't standing there with a book writing down every time this day. He fell and hit his head again. He scraped his knee up. He fell over his own toy. Today he fell up 30 times. Writing it all in a book. If I go to your photo albums and you open up the pages and you look at your children who's now a teenager or a married adult, and you go to that page, you'll not find any record where they fell and they had a boo-boo, a big black and blue mark on their forehead. You'll not find any pictures. But you'll see that little boy, that little girl, smiling and taking a step by themselves for the first time. That's the picture you're going to find in the photo. God don't keep records and hold it over our heads. And neither should we keep records and hold it over other people's heads. I've learned this. God will put us flat on our face or on our back sometimes so that he gets the level playing field. Esau, getting back to Elisha. Elisha, oh my, I sense the Spirit of God here tonight. Amen. Elisha, a double portion. He said, bring your vessels. He says, borrow not a few. In other words, many vessels. I've often said I ran to every store. I'd have ran to every, not to be a fanatic, not to be an extremist. But if God told me to pray, he didn't tell me how many times that I should pray. He said, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. So I'm going to have a vessel for every moment of the day that God wants to fill. Because he's got a picture and it's inexhaustible. He's just ready to pour. If you've got the pitcher and the glass, he's ready to pour into it. Brother, see, I believe the limited faith she had in a man of God, she went out there to her neighbors. She was borrowing. She was getting as many vessels together as she could. She was making all the room for everything that God had promised her. Under that promise. And so, we find out also that Elisha with Gehazi, as we were talking about a moment ago, he said, circumstance all around me. Circumstance all around us, Elisha. We're finished. We're done. They finally found out you're the one that talks about the king in his bedchamber, what he says in his bedchamber. They find out where we're at. And Elisha said, I think it was Brother Lawson the other week. I hadn't found that quote yet, but he said he found a quote where he said, Elisha didn't need to see with his own eyes. He already knew that the protection of God was with him. But he said, Lord, open his eyes. And then he could walk away in that famous great statement that was ever made that should remind you and I that we're even greater than Moses. We would sometimes think, Jesus said, the least of the kingdom. You're greater than Moses. In the abundance of God, squirrels were spoken to existence. But all these things happened. Whatever you have need of. We don't find people going out here and wanting to go live in another world, although they try to make it like they are. We hear about these weird things from time to time. People getting fantasies in their mind. But the people of God, I'm looking at a group of people tonight who are just as sane in their mind and sane in their soul as could be. I believe I'm looking at the body of Christ tonight, a representation of it. God trusts you. If you didn't know it, you know it now. The Word of God says that God actually can stand, Brother Doug, behind us. When that hour and level of maturity comes to the bride, he hands you the checkbook. He ain't worried about you writing a check for some fantastic thing. He trusts you. Sometimes there's proving times and so forth that a person goes through and trials and so forth to prove your loyalty. It's not that God thinks you're going to fail the test because you're made out of the same stuff he's made out of. But you've got to walk these things. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And so we find out that this king, he said, there's more with us than be with them. That famous statement tonight. there's more with us than be with them. First of all, it's not in quantity, but it's in quality. One shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight. It's the, what would be the word for it, the potency of the prescription. The lethalness to Satan's kingdom. The lethalness, the gospel, the blood. The lethalness of the blood to unbelief and darkness. It is so superior. Matter of fact, it does not even compare. There is no comparison. It is so overwhelming. It is so overwhelming. That's the thing that Satan desires to cloud our minds. Where Brother Ram said the day would seem hazy, the day would seem cloudy, Satan allows just enough of light to deceive people. But in evening time, it shall be light. The sun will again shine in its fullness. And we're in that age right now. The spotlight of God's Word is illuminating the entire Word, the Gospel. So the king hears the prophet's message. And he hears these things. I guess he was hearing them. Unless he was staying home from church. His actions seemed to prove that he was doing something besides going to church. He was a king. Yet he didn't know he was a king. He was a king of a different kingdom. He was a king in a different kingdom. Does not the Bible say we are kings and priests? He was a king, yes, over a physical kingdom, but he was also made to be a king. And yet Satan was keeping that knowledge from him. Because we find that when he said he took the arrow and he shot it, we all know that that was Jesus Christ. The work was finished. A sacrifice, a perfect lamb was made for us. The word was opened up. The seals were broken, so forth. And the arrow was shot from the bow. He shot it, and God was satisfied with it. Then he was told to go and pick up the arrow and to smite the ground. And he was told that, he said, you'll smite. Let's just read it again. In verse 17, he said that the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he took arrows and he took them and he said unto the king of Israel, smite on the ground. Now here's the test. Here's what everybody says. Well, the prophet said, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. The Bible says, but to pray without ceasing. We find out that people today, they just, well, they listen to a tape, they listen to a sermon, they listen to this or something of that nature, and it's like they just turn everything off. This king, he must have been doing something with his time. But if he'd have been listening to the stories that were being told of the prophet Elisha and how the widow's oil was multiplied, he'd have known that God was a God of abundance. But his thinking was thinking this big. Tiny thinking. Brother Bram said, God wants to do big things. Ask God for big things. Things that almost seem impossible. Like he was saying this morning about our children. Ask God. I don't care how far they've gone. Where they're at. Where your boss is at. Where your co-workers at. Ask God for big things. That inspiration come on you. Ask him for that big thing. That king. He's just like a lot of us. Some ways. He took the arrow. Doom, doom, doom. I've done what the prophet said to do. And the prophet looked at him and said, but you didn't pray without ceasing. You didn't stay in the Word all the way. You didn't go into the Word. I've always portrayed it this way. The bride of Christ in this last day is picking up them arrows, and she's still smiting the ground. She's still smiting. She's still smiting. I said, I'd have stayed there until that prophet would have tapped me on the shoulder and said, buddy, you've gone far enough. I want to wait till God tells me to stop smiting the ground. I'm not worried about exhausting God. I'm not worried about it or going too far in the Word. I don't know where I'm at anymore. I don't worry about that. God has not given us a spirit of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. God's got a bride today that will not and is not confused. So we find out he smote it 3 times. The prophet was angry. But I believe this. There's a bride. When she comes into view, she is bone and bone and flesh of his flesh, life of his life. She'll have the same power, the same signs, the same wonders. She does have, thus saith the Lord, and there are times she does not sit still either. Because she knows she's got thus saith the Lord, and she applies it responsibly. Because she follows the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You know, we've quoted that many times. Brother Ram said, I'd rather have a little bit of wildfire and no fire at all. And I've often said this, you ain't got no fire to speak of, how can you even quote it? Why? What's going on? Your torch is going out. Your lamp is going out. Maybe I'm in the wrong camp. Ain't got no fire to speak of. So, if you had a little bit of wildfire, at least it might make you feel, well, maybe we ought to get the right kind of fire. But if Satan can accomplish it, where you don't even, somebody might get blasted, or something happen in a service, and it's like, what's that all about? It is like that in some places. You can thank God that you're sitting under a ministry where these things are the norm. Brother Brown preached that one time about the unusual becoming the usual. Where it's going to happen, may not be the same thing every service, may not be the same thing every day of the week, but unusual things happen to believers. You are unusual to the world. You are a peculiar person, a separated people. You're a different person. You control the atmosphere around you, not them. They're not there to control you. You walk in a room and you've got the Holy Ghost. You don't have your chest all stuck out, but you've been in that back room praying. Brother Bram said about David, when he come up before that bear and that lion, that hidden power came out because he was over here fellowshipping with God before the bear and the lion ever showed up. And that hidden power came out. And he was confident. You'll find every time a perfect example of you and I. When that bear and lion came out there, he didn't sit back and say, well, I better go check the message to see whether or not. He was already prayed up. And he was already read up. He was already studied up. And the bear came in, vicious as it was. And I've often said this, just a thought. A bear, a lion, bear, you don't know what course of action they're going to take against you. They're unpredictable. A man, Goliath, you could at least say there was some sort of predictability about him. He's a man with a soul standing in front of you, a man with a brain, with a mind, thinking just like you do, except he didn't have a covenant. So David, if David knew anything about warfare, was studying his brothers and watching them, he could at least make some predictability about Goliath. But a bear and a lion, I ask you, you'd rather face in an arena? Another man? Or a bear lion? You don't know if they're going to spring on you. You don't know if they're going to charge and run you down and bite your head off. Or what they're going to do. You can't read their mind. But I tell you, the presence of God in David's life, when the hour arrived, he didn't have to read up. He didn't have to pray up because he'd already done that. He'd already met in that secret chamber with God. He'd already been in the secret closet. And when he went on the job, when he went into his home and there was fighting and arguments and all this, he's ready to face that situation confidently. Confidently. Yes, there's times we need to pray about things. I agree. But brother, sister, sometimes God's just waiting on us. I've given you a shield. I've given you a sword. I've got your armor. You put it on. Use it. Use it. Like any soldier, oh my, it's a heavy sword. Start swinging it. You might find that rotator cuff is stronger than you think it is. Yes. Just start moving around. Going around. You don't ask you to take on a big mountain at one time. Might be just that little thorn. That little devil that's sitting. No, not here in the service. That little thing on the job. It ain't that sinner man that's bothering you. It's a devil in him. Amen. Maybe you just call that man's name in prayer and ask you to give you a love for that person. No matter how much they despise you, mistreat you, that supervisor just give you the, won't even give you the time of day. Give you a rough way to go. Call his name in prayer and watch what happens. God said when Jacob, the prophet said when Jacob was down there and he sent out those two companies ahead of him, then he wrestled with the angel. He was still concerned about Esau and his army of 400 men. But you know what the prophet said? When he got finished, he got the blessing of God. God took care of the heavy lifting. There was some heavy lifting that had to be done. God took care of it. Don't you worry about those situations. God will do the heavy lifting when it comes time for him. You'll stand for God against that lion, against that bear. When Goliath comes before you, you know in whom you have believed. Hallelujah. Today, let's just stand. Brother Bram says, if we can find the quote here quickly, in this one message. Hallelujah. The era of God's deliverance. You can listen to that sermon. This is actually taken from the message Faith Once Delivered to the Saints, Chicago. Paragraph 47. It said, when that gospel line shined in the morning over yonder on the eastern country, it's been a day that wasn't dark nor light, it's been a day hazy. The sun, it's in its power, could not be seen. A mixed light, a hazy day. They know the sun was shining, but the clouds has put it out of their sight. People's had enough of faith to say, yes, Jesus was the Son of God. Oh, he's gone away. We can see enough to believe salvation. But you can't believe all of it. They stopped short. I believe there's people here tonight who is not going to stop short. Let my neighbor, let this one or let that one stop short. As for me at my house, I will go on. Said they stopped short. The next paragraph, like the prophet, when the king come to ask him a victory, get a victory over Syria, he put his hand on his arms and said, strike the floor. Brother Bram says he only struck twice. Prophet said, why didn't you strike many times? Many times. It wasn't just necessarily five or six. It was just an example that the prophet used. But he said, you come short. God would have given you many victories. I say this with reverence tonight. The church has been striking short what God revealed to them, striking short. They only struck a couple of times. We can be free from sin. That's good. We can have joy. That's good. But why don't we strike for divine healing? Why don't we strike for the power of God? Why don't we strike to the restoration of the gifts? Why don't we strike that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? God's got his hand rested on ours. Do you believe that? Let's win the victory over sin and everything that Jesus died to free us from. The church is striking short. They just make it a little strike, but it don't do no good. Like we just strike just one time, two times. Let's keep striking. Calvary spell freedom. Calvary don't strike short. Everything the Bible says, say it with them. How do you do it? The prophet, the seer had his hand on him. As long as Christ has got his hand on you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, keep striking. God's with you. The era of deliverance was given to the church, but worldliness, unbelief, superstition, everything else creeped in. And just skip some of this. He says, but brother, so yet the era of deliverance is filled with mercy tonight. Given to the church, what we ought to do is pick it up and strike for the glory of God. That's right. Every divine blessing that God promised is yours by faith if you'll receive it. Do you believe it? Praise God. Amen. Strike is from the message. Hour of God's deliverance shut from above. Come to this place where as God's prophet I speak in Christ's name. He's here with open arms, ready to give every person everything. An hour of complete, not just a partial deliverance. But an hour of deliverance. You know, we think of that as being something many times really, really superpower. But it could be just the fact we've been with the mate and where we would bear so much fruit that people would love to be around us. Because they can reach up. That era of deliverance may mean a lot of fruit on your tree where you were once barren. Come on. Not always. We think of sometimes great miracles and those things do happen. But it could be marriages that need healing. That may be the era of God's deliverance shut from above. You put it in there. Fill in the blank with whatever you have need of. He said, this is the hour, God's hour of deliverance is in your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to strike with it. This is your hour of decision. This is the hour time. Strike, 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 strike it. Strike everything that does cumber. Strike Calvary. Touch the hem of his garment. Raise your hands. Raise your souls. Raise your praises. Raise you. Raise everything. Praise God. I believe I'm looking at a people tonight. Some of us, we used to just strike a little bit. I believe tonight we're striking. We're continuing to strike. We're continuing to move on with God. We're continuing to see God at work. The greater things. Yes, this one left us. This one turned their back on us. But as long as I've got his approval. As long as that orchestra, the composer there. He wasn't looking for the approval of the people, Brother Doug. But he was looking up into the stand where his trainer was sitting. And he was looking for his approval. Brother and sister, it's not what other people think. I'm sure your pastor can say this. And I can say this. I've got a good pastor too. But I can say this. I'm not looking for the approval of men on my life. But I'm looking for the approval of God. God's approval on my life. His seal is more important to me. Having that seal. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord when you musicians come. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord I still got a voice. Amen. Praise God. It was weak. It was weak starting out. Satan is trying to see if he can really bring me down. But he hasn't brought me down. God's lifted me up. God's lifted you up. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing a song tonight. Amen. Jesus has a table spread. Oh my, I know you've been feeding well. You're a farmer. Well, I know we're not animals. We're not calves or something like that. But you're fat. You're rich. Not in Laodicea riches. You're rich in Christ. You're rich in the Word. You are the substance of God. You're the offspring of God. And God is not ashamed, Brother Doug, to call you and your people His brethren. Because they are His handiwork. You are His work. You're a work of art. You might look at yourself and say, I've got a long ways to go. We all do. But God knows how to shorten the distance. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Let's sing that song, The More That I Surrender. Brother Doug, if you want to come, brother. You know that song, The More That I Surrender? Sister Brenda Lewis wrote that. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Oh, yeah. I had to learn it. That I release my cares.
Lifts me up every day I live. Lord, I love you more. More that I surrender. Oh,